Going In Raw is now a CastBox original. CastBox is the fastest growing, highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts. You can still listen to Going In Raw wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best.
Hey guys, this is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw.
What's up, it's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you're watching Going In Raw. You like that?
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw. It's the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to. Hey, there's a lot of great ones out there. I'm going to name one right now. Wrestle Ramble. I like the guys from Wrestle Talk. I think they're very charming.
Mm-hmm.
That's another great one. But this is the only one you need to be listening to.
Yeah, you can wrestle the other wrestle.
Listen. You can wrestle the other
I'm
ones.
I'm all out of source today.
No, nah, man, it's great. Hey, listen, let's talk about some wrestling. We had some deep conversations in the pre-show.
Yeah, it was completely unexpected. whenever I have deep conversations in the pre-show, I'm always like, I probably didn't express my opinions that well.
Yeah.
That's how I always feel.
Yeah.
That probably wasn't how I meant to say a certain thing.
We wake up and I see Morgan Freeman's face looking at me with a sad headline, and I'm like, oh, come on, man. I just want to talk about wrestling.
I know.
Just be cool, man.
Yeah, it'd just be nice if people were just cool.
A2 Morgan Freeman, A2 sad. Anyways, yeah, this is Going In Raw. It's fantastic. Pro Wrestling Podcast. You can get this here at YouTube, CastBox. We've got a great partnership with them.
Mm-hmm.
Check them out. You know what? To make myself feel better today, I'm going to read a comment on CastBox.
Oh, that's a great idea.
I'm going to do that because we get so much love, man. There's so much to be happy about in the world, and I just want to spread some of that happiness right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's do what we can. Oh, man, 643 comments,
oh,
Larson.
Oh, wow, man, we shot way past. Yesterday we were under 600, I thought.
We shot past 600.
Lewis Nicholson, it's my perfect birthday on the 25th. Guess I'll spend it watching Going In Raw. Thanks, friendo.
I'm going to say happy,
and happy
thanks,
birthday.
Friendo.
Happy birthday.
Man, so yesterday, it's funny because you recommended this podcast to me yesterday.
Yeah.
This Chris Hayes one.
Yeah.
MSNBC guy. I'm not like a huge fan of MSNBC. I check it out, but you know. Anyways, he did have a really good episode about like what's happening in the Middle
yeah,
East.
Yeah, fantastic.
And all the players involved.
Yes.
It was informational. It wasn't any echo chamber stuff. It was just informational stuff.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's what I want these days. I just like information.
You said you listened to the other one, the conservative movement one too, right?
I started to.
Yeah, that's got a really interesting premise.
Yeah, I started to, and I want to finish it. But here's why I didn't finish it. Because I listened to the Middle East one while I was going for a jog. For some reason, my body decided to not let my brain know that I had a lot of pee that really needed to be removed from my system, micturated. And so, like, when I was literally 20 minutes out,
did you have to tinkle in a bush?
I really should have, but there's lots of opportunity out there. I just know myself. And because here's the thing. I live in a lot, like, my neck of the woods, my area is, there's a lot of wooded area. It's not like it's not like track homes. It's not like home.
Yeah. There's a lot of space between homes, a lot of land.
Yeah, a lot of
home.
Land. Like, it used to be farmland, basically.
Well, I mean,
some of it still is.
It's like kind of like mixed use.
Right,
for lack of proper term. I mean, it's not like house, you know, like apartment, or sorry, office building, strip mall. It's houses arranged typically like they would, like, your part of the street is arranged, and I don't think they're track homes, but they're arranged as such.
Yeah,
there's lots, and they're evenly sized.
I was on
roughly
the other side of Hazel, up because I really like where
it's, that's a little more open.
It's quiet out there, and it's like open, and there's all sorts of land, and so I had so many opportunities to like hop into like some very wooded area and
you
do
still
it.
I really want to do that,
I
though.
Still, man, I can't, like, I should, because who cares? But I just know my luck. I'm going to go out there.
Yeah.
And
you're going to have, you know,
and here's
a sheriff's
thing.
Car drive right by.
Right.
You,
yeah.
And you're going to get nabbed.
Yeah. They're going to grab me. And I don't know what they're usually actually like the cops out there. The few times I've had to deal with them, they're usually pretty cool. Like, they're not jerks or anything. So I probably get some guy who's like, oh, hey, here, let me put up a towel, you know, a sheet for you. So nobody sees your dingus.
Yeah.
Right. Or I'd get somebody who tases me while I'm peeing. I don't know. I could either way. I don't know. But anyways, I was out there like 20 minutes out. And so by the time I got back, you know, because I started like, you know, I tried to run, but running just makes it worse. So I just sped walked home.
Did you do like
speed walked?
The pee-pee walk?
It wasn't like, it was bad, but I didn't really change the way I walked because of it. Like that wasn't a set. There's a comedic pee-pee walk.
Yeah.
But I wasn't looking for comedy relief. I was looking for urination relief.
Well, I mean, sometimes the pee-pee walk is by necessity to hold the urine inside you.
Yeah. I don't
Did you ever
think
consider
I was
just urinating
that.
Yourself?
Well, I thought that might have to happen.
All right.
I thought that might be. No,
if you run.
Because here's the thing, too. When I'm close to having relief, when I know it's in sight, it gets worse.
I know.
Like my body's like, oh, you're good.
Did
you're
you,
almost
did
good.
Did you actually
All
make
right.
it inside or did you?
Thank God
like
I
didn't sneak around to your backyard.
Thank God I didn't care about the safety of my family because I didn't bring a key, but I didn't lock the door either. So I like ran right in. Somebody was in the family bathroom. And so I like sped past. And of course, my stupid dog tries to attack me. And I go past her. I go into the bathroom in my bedroom. And it was like, it was forever. It was like an Iron Man match. It was so long.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why I didn't know that before I left.
I might be in that condition by the time we're done with the show because usually I go and use the restroom before we start. Didn't do it today.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I'm a little off my game today or at least feel like it. Yeah. It's probably all perception.
It could be. I don't know, man.
Nonetheless, I might have to do the pee-pee walk going downstairs later in about 45 minutes.
Well, we have a pee corner over there. You can just use that. It was a mess. Anyways, let's talk about 205 Live.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Drew Gulak kicked things off against Grand Metal. Go! Grand Metal League. This is a fun. There was three really fun matches.
Yeah, there were some
Wait,
fun
were
matches.
There only two
yeah.
matches? Oh,
no, there was
three.
There was three, but only one of them felt like it was. Well, I guess not. The Gulak Grand Metalik match was of consequence because there's that feud going on between Gulak and all Lucha House Party. Plus, he got Kendrick and Gallagher involved.
Might be the sort of birth of a new faction if they're
Could
going
be.
With three man factions.
Could be, although I was kind of hoping that Noam Dar and Drew Gulak would forge an alliance because they're both gifted and talented technical submission wrestlers.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
But whereas I don't really see Jack Gallagher or Brian Kendrick in the same league in that regard as Drew Gulak. Now, TJP, after his match against Christopher Guy, said that he was the foremost technical wrestler in WWE because he's pretty good with the submission stuff. Imagine him, Gulak, and Noam Dar.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good.
I think that'd be great.
Yeah. I think the ship has already sailed on Gulak and Gallagher and what's-his-face, Brian Kendrick, though. Because, then you know, that's what they did last night.
Yeah, I know.
It's literally what we're talking about right now.
No, I know. It's just a bummer.
I know.
I'm really huge into the Gallagher-Kendrick team. I like them individually. Just the team doesn't really work for me.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think you need to open your mind a little bit. Just for the fact that you're stuck with them.
No, I know, but, you know.
It's the only group that seems
Just because WWE put something in front of me doesn't mean I have to like it.
No, that's true. I'm just saying come to accept it because they're not going to bend to your will.
Well, that's not what I'm asking.
Oh, okay.
I know that's not going to happen.
See, I'm okay.
I don't
with
have
him.
Mind control powers.
I'm okay with him. Is Brian Kendrick dresses up like a when his like Gallagher dresses immaculately?
Yeah, he's a snappy dresser.
Yeah, Kendrick dresses like I don't know.
He wears his ring gear just with jeans instead of wrestling pants.
Yeah. Basically, yeah.
He still wears the same leather jacket
and like a black T-shirt.
Yeah.
He sort of looked like a street thug from like the 50s.
Street you know? Tough.
Tough, yeah, tough. A
well, he
tough.
Would have to have the white T-shirt and then the pack of smokes.
Well, they didn't all wear that.
And
I imagine some of
them.
His
hair is in no way like a street tough from the 50s.
Well, I said he dresses like that.
Oh,
he had
right.
tight jeans, a black T-shirt, plain black T-shirt, and a leather jacket. That's enough of a tough for me.
But his jacket has like the studs and stuff on it, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really see 50s tough.
What do you see then?
It's an amalgam of like current day just dude. Plus, like a little bit of mid-80s punk with the jacket and the studs and stuff on it.
Yeah.
Because the jacket legitimately looks like it's from the mid-80s.
But then there's like a little bit of dad thrown in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because he's old.
Yeah, he's older.
He has like a
He's like
goatee.
Our age almost.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been around forever.
So it's an amalgam of various styles.
Alex C. in chat says Kendrick had dad jeans on.
I thought they were tighter than dad jeans.
Yeah, I think they were skinny jeans, man.
Yeah, I don't remember. I should have made note of those.
Good match, though.
It's yeah,
fun
it was
match.
Good.
Yeah, Drew Gulak.
Grand Metalik's always fun. Drew Gulak's a good storyteller. I mean, again, it's the high flyer versus the submission artist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the story. It's and they told it well, so.
Yeah, it was good. There you go. Kyle Young, 70s London punk tough. That's
kind
good.
Of, yeah.
I like that.
Although I would say more early, mid 80s.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Punk tough.
Anyways, Gulak won.
With Gulak.
The Dragon Sleeper. He puts that thing on. I can never get tired of
the torque he puts on it and the way he bends.
Took off his Grand Metal League's mat.
Bends people, arches their back. That looks painful. I remember when Ultimo Dragon used to do the Dragon Sleeper in WCW. I don't remember him torquing people quite that much.
Good stuff. Did we talk about that? I had never seen this before. Jericho from like an episode of Nitro back in the day. Mm-hmm. There's like a GIF that was flying around.
Mm-hmm.
When he tried to do Lion Salt, and he almost Hayabusa'd himself, but he was fighting Mr. Perfect. And he was on the ground, knew what was happening, put his knees up, and Jericho just surfboard off him. And you could see the look on Jericho's face, and he said,
"Oh my God." Wow.
Like totally knowing what just happened.
I missed that.
We'll have to look at it after the show because you'd get a kick out of it.
Mr. Perfect was a pro.
He was the best, man.
Maybe that's when Jericho started holding on to the ropes doing the line.
Well,
salt.
He did. It just, he grabbed the ropes. I don't know what happened. But he grabbed the ropes. There's nothing. I don't think he did anything wrong there. I don't know.
Maybe the rope was a little loose or something.
Yeah, that could be, yeah.
So you can get enough spring off
it.
That's crazy.
That could be. Ooh, boy.
Yeah, that's got to be a frightening move to get the least bit wrong. That one time Aleister Black had
let
the takeover.
I hate when he does it.
At least he put his hands down.
I hate when he does it, dude.
Usually he doesn't. He never grabs a rope.
I can't stand that. It bumps. Because you know what's going to... Man. That's the one thing that I'm fine talking about endlessly in hopes that it never comes to pass. Then when he retires, I'll say mission accomplished. Anyways, Buddy Murphy video package.
Where they were talking about him cutting weight, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I feel like they should have gone with him as like stress eater. That's the reason I don't make weight when I do, because I'm a stress eater.
Oh, Nick G says Jericho talked about that on his podcast and Mr. Perfect saved his life.
That's why it was floating out there, because he talked about it on his podcast. That's right.
Oof.
Yeah. Oof-ta. Seriously, man.
Oof.
That look on his face afterwards, I'll never forget. Anyways, good Buddy Murphy video package. Oh, best kept secret, no longer. Anyways, next up, TJP versus Christopher Job. Christopher the guy. Christopher, hey, guy.
This is a fun match.
Yeah.
And anytime TJP starts twisting people in pretzels, essentially, it's fun to watch.
I love jobber matches.
Yeah.
They're fun.
Especially jobber matches where the enhancement talent gets a few licks in.
When they know what they're doing, too, when they know how to sell
this
good.
This guy was good.
He was good. He was legitimately good.
He got an opportunity to get a little offense in because TJP was getting a little arrogant. Hubris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is a story now. Hubris.
Mm-hmm. Hubris.
Hubris.
Yeah. So afterwards, he gave an interview. He won with the detonation kick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Christopher Guy did not go over. He gave an interview afterwards where he said, I am best.
Not only was I the first cruiserweight champion,
I was the best
cruiserweight champion.
Well, no, because then you'd still be cruiserweight
champion. Neville was best cruiserweight champion.
That is true, Neville. And he said, I'm best technical wrestler. I am best.
Mm-hmm.
So that's his thing right now. He's best.
That's what his pants say is cruiser great.
Cruiser great. Thanks, Brendo. Next up, we had a Cedric Alexander interview. It was like a sit-down interview thing.
Yeah.
I'm not huge on these things.
No. And
it's not the best way to give a Cedric Alexander.
No, and they still haven't really, or he hasn't, developed any sort of character beyond good guy.
Yeah, no, not really.
There needs to be some depth going on here.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it just seems like he's reciting lines.
Yeah, I know. Because he is.
Yeah.
there's no
performance involved, since there's no the performance isn't based in any sort of character.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine it's like, here, Cedric, here's your lines for your interview tonight. Thank you.
We're going live in 3 minutes.
I know. Memorize these. All right. Yeah. And then when the red light's on the camera and after Vic asks you a question, you will recite these lines. That's probably the direction that's going on.
Yeah, exactly.
And he probably says, all right, that's
okay.
Fine.
Sounds good. Am I going to fight anytime soon?
I know.
They did do this like little video package showcasing a lot of tweets talking about Cedric and Mustafa
Ali.
Yeah.
Their matches in Europe, yeah.
Tearing it down in the European house
show. You see the injury that Mustafa Ali suffered during one of the matches?
No.
He had a huge gash in his
head.
Oh,
I did. I saw
like
yeah.
seven or eight staples.
Yeah,
put
I
in.
Saw the stitches that crazy. Afterwards. Yeah, it was pretty nasty. Nothing will ever be. Look, man, I don't care how many stitches you get. If you don't get as many as Jordan Devlin got on the back of his head,
man.
It's kind of like nothing to me.
They pretty much had to staple his whole back of his head back together.
He had to like find something to put his skull
it
back
was
in
like
place.
From here to up here.
That was so brutal.
It was a nasty gash.
Anyways.
He'll be in the, I think he's in the United Kingdom tournament coming up next month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see here. Hideo Itami versus Akira Tozawa. They had their, you think these are a blow off? They got to have a couple more matches, right? This is super good, though. This is a freaking hell of a match.
Yeah, it was really good.
Like, this could be the blow off, but why would it be? They need to do a couple more. Escalate things a little bit. Akira needs to pick up a win, and they can have a rubber match.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a couple more after that, because
yeah.
it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Very physical match, long match, super brutal.
I like that Hideo Itami, he demands respect. Yet gives respect to no one.
Yeah.
That's his character. And
yeah.
it's interesting.
Yeah, it was preceded by an Akira Tozawa interview where no more jokey, no more acting like you're Vince McMahon or GM of 205 Live, no more saying you're fired. He just said, I liked him. If you had a problem being a partner with me, you should have said something. But you know what? He might not have liked me, but now that I don't like him, he's got a real problem. Something like that. Then he stomped off. Unfortunately for him, though, Hideo Itami did pick up the win with the finisher, but it was after a brutal match.
Yeah,
they went all over the place.
And Tozawa, kind of one of the stories of the match was Tozawa in position to hit his finisher and unable to do so. He three attempts and trying to hit that top rope senton.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it.
Yeah. Hideo Itami picked up the win in the main event against Akira Tozawa again. I really want this to keep on going.
Because they gave it a ton of time. It was a really long match.
I know.
20-some minutes.
Yeah, it was a long match. I don't know. Are they still doing stuff with them at like pay-per-views? With the Cruiserweight title? When's the last time they did?
No.
They did one of the
Greatest
Rumble.
That's the last time it was defended. It wasn't defended at Backlash.
Backlash it wasn't. That's right.
We'll see about Money in the Bank. They yeah. should at Money in the Bank.
Yeah, you think so, right?
Yeah.
Anyways. NXT, another fun episode. I'm kind of getting over the Johnny Gargano Ciampa thing.
I think it was a bit of a misstep to have Gargano insinuate he was going to retire
yeah.
and then do it at the behest of Candace.
Yeah.
That was a mistake. Especially if you know anything about Candace's career.
Right.
Like
yes.
she literally, like one of, I have a shirt of hers on the back that says Candace LeRae is tougher than you.
Yeah.
So I don't really see her going to her husband and saying, you need to hang him up.
I know.
I just don't see that happening.
I have a shirt with her, with it's got her, a blood mask.
Yeah.
Man, she is super tough.
Mm-hmm.
She probably is tougher than you.
Oh yeah.
Everybody. So yeah, I don't know. I just feel like there's been too many segments where they're standing in the ring, talking, she looks concerned, Ciampa shows up, and how many times do we have to see him do this?
I know.
I'm just kind of over it.
What I want to see is Candice LeRae beat the heck of Tommaso Ciampa.
That's
what I want to see.
No, I know. I agree completely.
That's the way to take this feud up to a different level.
Look, man, if Zelina Vega can drop Hunan Kanranas on people,
I know.
Candice LeRae can do something.
Yeah.
She can do something.
Yeah. Other than to slap him.
Other than slap him and just like run away and find refs. Because that's what she did last night. I don't know, man. I'm kind of, look, it's going to be a great match. They're I'm assuming they're going to do another match at the next takeover.
Yeah, I think so.
But yeah, it was kind of silly because he's like, yeah, I'm going to retire. And then like he like says, no, I'm not going to retire.
Well, the crowd starts saying, you know, don't retire. And then he changes his mind. Or Candace is like, no, Johnny, think about
our
future.
What is commonly known to be the number one feature of a successful marriage? Communication.
Yeah.
Why would he have changed his mind without consulting his wife out there in the middle of the ring just because the crowd is chanting, we love Johnny, or whatever they were chanting?
Yeah, yeah.
Please don't go.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, the whole premise, like him coming out in the neck brace and is like, yep, sorry, got to hang him up. It's taking too much a toll on me and my family.
Yeah.
Is a flawed premise to begin with for the whole segment.
Right, exactly.
His name's Johnny Wrestling.
Yeah.
He's not going to be Johnny Barista.
Johnny Target.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, man.
He He walks out there saying, yeah.
Oh, he's so like dog faced, you know?
And then Ooh. Like, we're really supposed to believe, all right, goodbye, Johnny. Sad to see you go.
I know. And he, okay.
It's not in the least bit plausible.
Here was my thing. Like, before all this was, he went out there to challenge. This is kind of one of the problems with NXT. When you know full on, then they're not going to have a real NXT championship match on NXT TV. You absolutely know how that finish is going to turn out. You already know. And that's one of the things that NXT does. They have really good matches, mm-hmm. and things can be, you know, unpredictable. Mm-hmm. They've just got into this. Like last night when Lacey Evans went over Kairi Sane, that was unpredictable. I really liked that. That was cool.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that at all.
Me neither. That was great.
Let me ask you this. Kairi Sane, was she trying to, walking out the ring, was that lose face or was that I'm mad face? Because I can interpret it either way.
I don't know. You know, I didn't pay enough attention to her entrance because I didn't figure that she was going to lose. So yeah. I honestly didn't. That wasn't even in my head.
See, I saw on Twitter that she did lose. So I saw her come
okay,
out,
yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if she's just trying to, this is like, she just found out she was losing. She's like, what?
Yeah.
Or if she was trying to come off as angry about what had happened previously.
Yeah. I don't know. But I think so. When he challenged, I really liked when he said, hey, Almas, you know, we'll do a, you know, if I lose, I'll leave.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that should have been through, like, he should have been gone through an additional takeover.
Yeah.
Because was it even a week before he attacked Ciampa again?
It was a couple.
Something, was it? Yeah, just barely, it was pretty
quick, yeah.
It was at the next taping.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it was the next round taping.
So, I don't know, man. I just feel like because of the way NXT is structured, they haven't. I don't know. I don't feel a whole lot for this, especially because, look, it's Candice LeRae. I should be really excited that she's here, but she's always just concerned wife for her
mm-hmm,
husband.
Mm-hmm. And it feels like a waste of her talent. She can be doing so much more.
I know. And especially even within this feud itself.
Yeah.
Like you said, attacking Ciampa.
Yeah.
We know what her pedigree is. We know where she's been. We know where her history is.
Yes.
Anyways, things kicked off with Heavy Machinery versus TM61. I really like TM61. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Heavy Machinery was wearing the red and black gear like I suggested.
Okay, yeah. Remind me. Okay.
Because I said if you change their names. Well, I said red and like really dark gray.
Okay.
You have red, either red meat or barbecue sauce for the steak. Okay. And then gray for the weights.
Okay.
And then they came out this weekend similarly colored.
Oh, wow.
Gear.
Because, no, somebody on Twitter said they came out, they're wearing it. And I was like, what conversation do we have about that? Because I remember we had one. Okay, that's good. I like that. Because I looked and I was like, well, they're not wearing, like, you know, Sunday barbecue clothes.
Yeah.
So that was
the
my suggestion.
The color scheme is what I suggested.
Okay.
Time.
Well done. Well done. Anyways, they took on TM61. I love TM61.
Yes.
I don't love Heavy Machinery, man. They're just too. There was one part where literally Otis did some maneuver where he ended up standing tall and he looked right into the camera with this knowing. He didn't wink. He didn't go that far. I don't like that.
Mm.
It's too cartoony.
I feel like Heavy Machinery is not, their gimmick's not streamlined. Like if it was just strictly, hey, we're like construction workers, at least that makes sense.
Right.
But they're like happy fun guys.
They're happy fun guys.
Who are somehow inspired by Heavy Machinery or construction stuff.
You got to let go of the construction stuff, man.
I mean, like, that's their song is like hammers hitting anvils and stuff, man.
I know, but you got to
let
their go
stuff,
of it.
Their gear is still fashioned after like road signs.
Yeah.
I'm not getting hung up on anything. I'm reacting to what's being shown to me on television.
Right?
All right. So
okay. All right.
Give me a break, Steve.
I'm just saying, like, beyond the most basic of aesthetic, you're right.
But that's what I'm saying. If it was strictly, hey, we used to be construction workers, now we're wrestlers, whatever, come out in hard hat. I'm just saying. At least that's streamlined. That makes sense.
Right.
But there's a little bit of this.
Right.
There's the stakes and weights thing.
Yeah.
There's Otis doing the worm.
Yeah. Oh man, then he did the
he's done that before.
I know, but
there's
I blocked it
too
from
many
memory.
Little things and it's all over the place. They need to streamline it. Either it's Otis likes to do the worm,
yeah,
or it's stakes and weights, or we're construction construction aficionados or enthusiasts.
All right.
Pick one.
All right.
Go with that one. Don't try to incorporate them all.
You have convinced me. All right. I agree with you. Oh, man. Anyways, they had the upper hand for a lot of this match. TM61.
See, Kevin Jenkins says, look, Steve, heavy machinery are just a couple of construction workers who like to barbecue, work out. But there's more to it than that.
Yeah.
They like to joke around. They like to have fun, which, of course, could be incorporated into the barbecue. But where does the worm fit into all this?
And then Otis does the spinning thing, which bugs me, too. I don't like any of it, man. Here's the thing.
Like, I think if they streamlined their gimmick and their characters, it could work.
No.
It's too much.
No, here's
it's
the problem.
It's just too much right now.
This doesn't work. This doesn't work. And this doesn't work. None of it. I could bring out the whiteboard and show you. You get the construction workers. I don't like that. You get the comedy stuff. I don't really like that. And then you get, because I don't like their brand of comedy. It's too corny. And then you get the steaks and wakes barbecue stuff. I don't like that either. I don't really, well, no, I do like the barbecue stuff.
Yes, say.
But as wrestlers coming out as barbecuers, I like, on second thought, I'm not huge on it. It's like a whole storm of crap.
It's a limited gimmick. But here's the thing, is they're not dedicating enough effort to developing any of those.
Yeah, I know.
So one of them, in theory, could work, in theory,
mm-hmm.
but they're not allowing either creative isn't allowed to explore any of those avenues, or heavy machinery isn't exploring any of those avenues.
Yeah.
Therefore, none of them are going to work.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that one. I know. Anyways, TM61 got the roll-up win. No, yeah, he got the roll-up win. He had his...
feet on the ropes.
Miller. What's his first
name? Yeah, Nick Miller.
Nick Miller. There's Shane Thorne and Nick Miller.
Correct.
Anyways, yeah, and then they did the thing where Shane Thorne held the feet firmly to the ropes again.
Yeah, yeah.
They got the heel victory right there, the sneaky win.
Yes.
So good on them.
Yeah, I like TM61 a lot.
Me too. Next up, we had a Bianca Belair video package.
Yeah, they're teasing some sort of a mini documentary next
week.
Yeah,
oh, that'll be good.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
I hope they show her interacting with her guy.
Yeah. Montez Ford.
Montez Ford.
I think that'd be great.
I really like Bianca Belair. She's fantastic.
Same here.
Next up, there was an EC3 promo. I'm still betting that he might even get called up after Money in the Bank.
It's entirely possible. He's had like one match on NXT TV.
Well, wasn't he talking about, he said, my trilogy of matches. Can you imagine what's going to happen?
I guess he's had three then.
Three, yeah, maybe.
So there's a ladder match and two singles matches? I don't remember one, whatever.
Yeah, I don't remember any of them, to be honest with you. I remember the ladder match, but I remember he didn't.
He beat Raul Mendoza last week.
Right, and then I think he had like a jobber match before that.
Oh, all right. Forgot about that. So what do you say about his trilogy of matches? I've had my trilogy of matches. Now I'm out of here.
Yeah, he said, I've had three matches. He said, you've seen what I've done in three matches. Imagine what I'm going to do in my fourth. More of the same.
Yeah, probably win.
Probably win. Just go to Maine, dude. You're made. He's SmackDown and Raw proof.
Yeah.
Even they can't mess up EC3.
Well, they messed up Bobby Roode. His heel character seemed hard to mess up.
Here's the thing about EC3. Is he a heel? Is he a face?
He's a one percenter.
Is he a tweener? He's a one percenter.
That's all you need, I guess.
You can't mess that up. You know exactly what you get with EC3. Bobby Roode was explicitly a heel, and so you can turn him into something else. EC3 exists in the 1% area of all that. He is nothing and everything. He's a heel, face, tweener. He's all that. He's very orange.
I understand your point of view, but...
The only way they could change EC3 is if they kept him off the tanning bed and he had, like, normal-looking skin. Because his skin is orange is weird.
What if they just made him, like, super middle class?
Yeah, right. Or poverty-stricken. I am the 99%. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, yeah, you could do that.
Literally the complete 180 on his gimmick.
I mean, they could do that. But here's the thing. I think he would make that entertaining.
Oh, he would.
I think he'd make that super entertaining. Have to live in a friggin' 3-bedroom apartment with 2 roommates that I hate.
With no rent control.
No rent control, exactly. So, no, I hear the EC3 is...
Like I'm in my mid-30s. I've got a 3-bedroom apartment with 2 roommates.
Right. No, they should do the angle ripped from the headlines. 33-year-old man lives with parents, gets ordered by a judge to leave.
Yeah.
God,
and now he has to go out into the world first time all on his own.
Right, exactly.
Pay his bills.
That's good. No, I do. I think that EC3 is like made for main roster.
Oh,
like,
he is.
He should be gone.
I'm actually kind of surprised that he went to NXT at all.
Poverty stricken 3. oh man. Anyways, great. I love EC3. He's great. Next up, because he seems so happy too. because he's getting like his paychecks are actually showing up. I wonder if there's like a little bit of PTSD from that.
I don't know.
He at 2 o'clock in the morning when he's supposed to get his direct deposit, he checks his phone. You know, he wakes up, sets his alarm, like, and then he starts freaking out if it's not there by 3.
Yeah,
you know, at 4 o'clock he's calling the bank. Anyways, next up, Kyrie Sane versus Lacey Evans. You claim Kyrie had a lose face. That could totally be.
Well, I was having a hard time interpreting whether it was a lose face or I'm angry face.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Because I could interpret it either way.
Kevin Jenkins, EC3 crisis of currency story. That's good.
That's good.
Lacey
Evans.
But
then again, since I already knew she was going to lose, mm-hmm. so I saw it on Twitter, that might have altered my perception of her performance.
Yeah. Lacey Evans, time traveler, able to see all the moves that Kyrie Sane was going to pull and then go back to her match and
counter for all of them, because the finish saw Kyrie Sane, I think she does like a, not her top rope elbow, obviously, but like a top rope lariat. And in the midst of that, Lacey Evans hit her with the woman's right.
Oh, I love that. And it's great. What a great name, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And then got the surprising win.
Yeah. That was, you know, I love that, man, because it does nothing to hurt Kyrie Sane and it does everything for Lacey Evans. That's fantastic. Next up, we had
a backstage interview with Johnny Gargano where we saw the neck brace and he just kind of said, well, yeah, you know.
Was this when he was walking in the parking lot?
I think so.
Kathy Kelly?
Kathy Kelly, yeah.
Yeah, I like her. She's good.
Mm-hmm.
And then they debuted a new interviewer, I think, with the Dakota Kai one. Maybe she's been there before. I think she replaced, what's her face?
Christy St. Cloud?
Yeah.
Oh, she's the ring announcer. She's been the ring announcer.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Cool. Johnny Gargano walking up. Candace with that sad look on her face. Oh, I can't wait till they actually get away from this stuff. I just want to see her wrestle and, like, you know.
Kick butt.
Kick ass, yeah. Anyways, Gargano, yeah. Oh, I got a neck brace. Next up, we had a very excited Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch interview where they said, yes, we've got, because the three of us and Pete Dunne,
mm-hmm.
beat the Undisputed Era last week.
We get a tag team title shot at TakeOver.
And they're totally not going to get those titles.
No.
But the great thing about that is that after that.
Da-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
I love it. I love it. Dun-dun-dun. Wow, look at that. I can do it on cue now. Awesome. Good for me. See, I just do that.
I do it slow.
Another promo. They're on their playground.
Yeah, man.
Talking about Oney Lorcan and Donnie Burch.
And Peter Dune.
Peter Dune. They mispronounced all their names, and it was hilarious. I love these guys.
I love heel Roderick Strong.
Yes! I was about to say that.
Ton of personality.
He's so corny.
Yeah.
He's so cheesy, but it fits so perfectly
into Undisputed Era.
It does.
Everything about them really shouldn't work.
I know.
And it totally does.
You know why it works? It's because they're already so accomplished.
It's also because they all genuinely like each other.
Yeah,
I feel like they're just doing stuff to try to make each other laugh.
Yes. I know. Exactly.
And it comes off as genuine.
Exactly.
That's why it works.
I always love when Bobby Fish pipes up. That poor bastard.
I know.
He's the best. Anyways, so that's great. So yeah, they poo-pooed the idea that Lorcan and Burch are going to win at TakeOver. So, yeah, it was great.
Next, Lars Sullivan versus Ricochet and Velveteen Dream. I thought this was the main event of the show. And so I was like, wow, they're going to get this match a half hour. Cool.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then it ended after about 15 minutes. And I was like, did they get the length of the episode wrong?
So we – it's always possible. We talk on Matt Chat. So you're figuring Matt Chat out.
I have to re-edit it now that I've got – audio that isn't messed up.
We'll give you a little preview of Matt Chat. Somebody, I forget who it was, asked us a question. Who has a higher ceiling on Maine, Ricochet or Velveteen Dream?
Yeah.
I finally figured out who Velveteen Dream reminds me of and just how great and just why he's, I personally think his ceiling might even be higher than Ricochet's. He reminds me of Brian Pillman. And I know Brian Pillman was never a main event guy, but I think if Brian Pillman was around today and didn't have the injury problems he had, I think he could be. I think he had that weird charisma, that X Factor thing, not talking about Xbox, that thing, unpredictability, that, you know, because they called him Loose Cannon. But I kind of feel like that suited him so perfectly, especially in his like later, like the last 2 years of his career, or his life. Velveteen Dream, there's something so absolutely legitimate about his aura. Stop it, phone. About his aura that just comes off as so committed to the character, that what he's doing. And on top of that, you have the fact that he's a physical specimen, that he's so young, that he's still learning. And my God, how much stuff is he gonna learn if he has an extended feud with Ricochet?
Oh, tons.
You know, I mean, even if it's just one match, that's fine, whatever. But there's something about him that I think there is the potential. And I think here's the thing about, I don't think his gimmick is at all main roster proof, because that's one thing that you and I both agree on.
Yes.
In that,
and that's
in
my primary concern
is creative going to screw him up? It could be very likely, but I also think that he's the kind of guy who might be highly adaptable, that kind of like Cody Rhodes, whatever they gave him, Cody
he did it to the max.
Made gold out of it.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like Patrick Clark is the same way. Whatever they give him, I think he's going to turn into gold. I have a feeling, I could be wrong, but I get this vibe from him that is very, very unique. And he in that manner, he kind of reminds me of Pillman in his best way.
Yeah, I mean, his ceiling is off the charts, so long as creative doesn't seriously bungle matters for him.
Yeah. I mean,
my premise in Matt Chat, if we're going to give the full tease, is that Ricochet's in-ring gifts alone will get him insanely over.
Yeah.
And if, even if he just ends up, based on what he's given on in creative, being a capable promo guy, he's going to go far.
No,
he's so good in the ring.
Yeah, no, he can totally be another Seth Rollins. Absolutely. I look at Velveteen Dream, though, man, and that something special. And it could be, he could just be a cult star.
Yeah.
You know, that might mean his ceiling isn't going to be as high as, like, Universal Champion. Absolutely. But, man, there is something absolutely special about that guy. And the crowd freaking clues into it.
Yeah.
So, and I had literally throughout this entire, until the swerve happened, I realized halfway through, I've had a smile on my face this entire match.
Oh, it was a fun match.
Because he comes out, and the interaction between Velveteen Dream and Ricochet is fantastic, because they seem to be on the same page.
Yeah, they do a fist bump before the match starts.
Yeah, they're tagging in and out, trying to chop down Lars Sullivan.
And they're communicating a lot. They're like talking strategy during the match.
Exactly. But every time they chop him down a little bit, Lars Sullivan is able to counter with a power move.
Mm-hmm.
That tags another guy in.
Mm-hmm.
He chops him down a little bit, gets hit with a power move, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, until...
And then they start some tandem work.
Yeah.
Then they start both guys in this ring at the same time.
Yeah. So then at one point, right before Velveteen Dream turns on Ricochet, Ricochet tags himself in.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, the Velveteen Dream has a problem with it, because they managed to knock down Lars Sullivan. And then Velveteen Dream gives Ricochet a Death Valley driver.
Out of nowhere. It was
out of nowhere.
It was so beautiful.
And then leaves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Ricochet eats a freak accident and the pin. Lars goes over. So apparently, I don't know if this is officially a number one contenders match, or they framed it as if it would give Lars a good case to be number one contender.
Well, Aleister Black is showing up next week. Mm-hmm. They advertise that as well.
We should get some clarity in the situation.
Pretty sure we probably will.
Yeah.
Anyways. So no.
And I thought that was the end of the episode. I was like, okay, cool, fun. But there's more to it. I didn't know. I forgot that we were going to get a Johnny Gargano promo.
Well, he was in the parking lot, so I figured he'd do something. But before we got to that, we had a Dakota Kai interview.
Because she's going to take on Shayna Baszler, I think, next week for the NXT title. Yeah. NXT Women's title.
She has quickly become my most annoying wrestler.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, one thing I forgot to mention with 205 Live. I'm thinking of annoying wrestlers, and so I thought about Kalisto. But then how great was I love the Lucha House Party
going fantastic.
All in on the party aspect of things. See,
they
take the one thing,
the
house
party.
They focus on that.
Develop that, and good things happen.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, if they would do that with Heavy Machinery, just choose one.
Mm-hmm.
Do they like to lift weight and eat? Lift weights and eat red meat?
Yeah.
Do they like jackhammers?
Yeah, right.
Are they just like fun guys?
Yeah.
Choose one. Go with that.
Yeah. I love the little
yeah, the noisemakers.
All the noisemakers.
I like they got those in the Titantron, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was awesome. Anyways, getting back to NXT. Dakota Kai. You know, I'm so happy I'm here. And I've always wanted to be you know, NXT Women's Champion. Oh, I loved it. Even before I got here, I loved NXT. And then the interviewer says, but you're taking on Shayna Baszler. Oh, no, it makes me so sad. Oh, it's so annoying.
But see, by the time the Shayna Baszler walked to the frame and was, like, talking trash.
Yeah.
And it seemed like Dakota Kai was finally...
A little bit.
Standing up for herself.
Well, yeah, by the time she left the segment, she was like, man, my phone's blowing up. She was like, you know...
She was standing up for herself.
Standing up for herself a little bit. She's like... But the funny thing is, she said it so under her breath because Shayna Baszler was like, what? You're not going to do anything. What are you going to do? And then Dakota Kai says, we'll see about that. And then walks away, and Shayna was like, uh-oh, she's growing a sack. Not good. Not good for me. Anyways, that'll be good. That'll be a good match. Like, I like Dakota Kai. She's a really, really good wrestler.
Yeah.
She's fun to watch.
Yeah.
I'm just not. She's a bully. Oh, she's a bully. I don't like bully. I'm not huge on that. But it makes for entertaining TV, so
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Next up, we had Johnny Gargano. We kind of already talked about this.
Yeah.
He hits the ring with Candace, and he says, you know, we're not sure if it's worth it anymore. You know,
and the crowd chants yes, as in yes, it is worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he rips off the neck brace.
Mm-hmm.
Talks to Candace. Candace says, no, think about her future.
Oh, man.
And then he calls out Tommaso Ciampa.
Yeah.
Ciampa comes out, says, once again, the situation where... Little Johnny listening to his wife.
Yeah.
It's just the framing of all this is
bad. I thought there would be some little extra stank on it with Ciampa. Some extra little thing, you know, like when Biff said, or no, it wasn't Biff. It was Flea who said, what's wrong, McFly? You chicken?
Yeah.
Or Biff said, what's wrong, McFly? You yellow?
That wasn't the third one, huh?
I don't know. I think so, yeah. I think so, yeah. Anyways, but there wasn't. I thought he was going to say something about Candace. Like, hey, Johnny, you know, I put a camera in the bathroom when we all live together. Whoa, you know.
Yeah.
That's too far.
That is too far. Instead, he just questioned Johnny's manhood for the umpteenth time.
I know. So anyways, I don't know. I'm just tired of, look, Johnny Wrestling is one of the best wrestlers in the company. He's not the greatest, like, personality guy, though. He's kind of dull. And it kind of makes me just think, why didn't Candace, like, go after Ciampa instead of Gargano? You know, he's manly. He's got all that vascularity.
Yeah, he's got a nice beard.
He's got a great beard. He's fantastic.
Yeah.
She should go with him.
So you essentially want Ciampa to turn into Scott Steiner.
No.
No? Okay.
No. I want it to be no, because he had, like...
Well, that's my mind when he said that. I was like, in my mind, I was picturing Ciampa saying... Candace, who we know it's like to be with a real man.
Well, yeah, okay. I want him to be more like Clubber Lang in that
all
respect.
Right,
because
right,
he said essentially the same thing.
Gotcha.
Also
kind of what Bob Roode was doing with the Roderick Strong story.
Yeah, I much
too.
Prefer that way. Yeah, Steiner was creepy with
it. Oh, God, yes.
He was super creepy
with
it.
He was really creepy with it.
Yeah. I don't want Ciampa to be quite that. I want Candace to be like, I can be a better team. Because a marriage is a team.
That's true.
I can be a good team with him because he's alpha. Anyway,
so Gargano runs back towards the ring because the refs separate him and from Ciampa. So he and Candace are at the top of the ramp. Ciampa insults his manhood. Johnny runs up the ramp, jumps on the apron. Ciampa pushes him off right into Candace. Candace hits the bottom of the ramp.
Yeah, she takes a pretty nasty spill.
Yeah.
And they all think she's dead.
Yeah, but this is Candace LeRae.
Yeah, I know.
There's multiple t-shirts of her busted open.
Yeah, I have one. I know.
As
do
great. I.
I've seen that PWG match against the Young Bucks in the world's cutest tag team.
I've seen her take some nasty bumps at the hands of Trent.
Yeah.
You know?
At the hands of Trent. Yeah. So, yeah, she's tougher than this.
Yeah.
But they're all freaking out.
She just, like, got up and went in there and just started wailing away elbows on Ciampa's face.
I know, exactly.
That'd be great.
Come away with, a crimson mask. But they're all freaking out. Oh, my God. Somebody get help. Somebody. And there are people out there helping. There's a guy with a giant fanny pack filled with great medical supplies, I imagine, that's out there to help. And then Nigel McGuinness even comes over.
Mm-hmm.
He was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So they're really, really, yeah, but it was kind of cheesy.
You want to answer some questions?
Yeah, but first, I want to mention this.
Oh,
our friend
mail too,
Patrick Sparks was in attendance at 205 Live. I meant to do this at the head of the show during when we were talking about this match.
Well, he's on SmackDown, too. We gave him a shout-out on the SmackDown.
Yeah, but he actually had a picture of the sign. Look at that. There it is.
There it is. Thank you, Patrick Sparks.
Clearly says going in Raw, and that's his little hand right there, and there's some bees buzzing around it. He's the B-man.
He is the B-man.
All right, we got some mail here.
You want to read the letter?
To Steven Larson. I like when people's handwriting looks like the Zodiac Killer.
Look at that. Kind of does, doesn't it? It's great.
Let's see here. Longtime listener now for about 3 years. I love listening to live streams as it makes pay-per-views more fun and entertaining, and listen to podcasts whilst walking my dog. On one of your live streams, I constantly ask about your talent and Steve's Maurice accent. It's his favorite one. Ask about... UK talent, not your talent. It looks like a shorthand for your.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. For you. Okay. Yeah. But during one of these, I brought up Lana Austin, who has the best stunner in wrestling currently. She uses a Destino stunner during her matches. And as you both are fans of cutters, thought that could be added to your list of cutters. But back to point, I thought I would send you some 8x10 signed by the woman herself. Keep up the good work. Hearty handshake and a too sweet. Your number one, Mark Adam Nuttall.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you very much. That's fantastic.
That's cool.
We're going to put at least one of these up on the wall. We're figuring out how to doll up the set. I know
we're going to do something. We're trying to figure out the mechanics of how to do it best, though.
Yeah, we want to make it more but better.
Thank you very much. That's cool.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. That's really great. I need to check out. I keep on meaning to check because I've heard from multiple people that she's great, Lana Austin. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to check some of her stuff out.
Question time.
Question time, Al.
Mr. Sinister, how can certain wrestlers avoid going to 205 Live like Ciampa, Gargano, Adam Cole, Bebe without gaining weight? I think they already bill Adam Cole at more than 205.
Mm-hmm. I think it's like 215 or something, 210.
210, something like that,
yeah.
So he should be fine.
Yeah, here's the thing. I don't think the wrestlers, sadly enough, have a choice.
No, I don't think they do either.
They don't have a choice. So even if they gain weight, Vince will be like, well, I don't care that you're 230.
Then they'll do a Buddy Murphy thing.
Right.
Do you really think Buddy Murphy weighs 205 pounds?
That dude's jacked.
Yeah, he's massive.
You know how many pounds he is? Jacked number of pounds.
Yeah. So if Triple H or Vince says, hey, Johnny, we're going to put you on 205 Live.
We need you on the 205 Live. We need you on the Cruiser Show.
Because I think, at least on Wikipedia, like the weight difference between Finn Balor and Johnny Gargano is a matter of like 5 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
But Finn Balor looks like he's 2 inches taller.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And maybe has 10 pounds more muscle on him.
Yeah.
I mean, Finn Balor is built at like 190-something.
What is Almas? Isn't Almas like...
They say he's 210.
They say he's 210, yeah. I wonder if he actually is. He's like 5'9", though. Is he
that short?
I think he's that short, which would make Zelina Vega like 4'3", because when they're standing next to each other, she is short.
Yeah.
See, look. No, the top corner.
Yeah, 5'9", 209.
Yeah. El Idolo.
Next.
Fat bastard champ Alex Foster. What should Noam Dar do when he returns?
Join forces with Drew Gulak.
I like all the jokes that people are making about him going to SmackDown. Welcome to SmackDown on Fox.
That's good. That's pretty funny. The cynic Jason King. Hey, friendos. Do you think Roderick Strong will ever get his initial into the Undisputed Era logo?
Kind of difficult, man. Not a lot.
Then
of
I'll just
room.
Say CFOs, and that's who does the music for WWE. Yeah. If not, do you think that the lack of an update to the existing merchandise foreshadows his being betrayed and kicked out of the group?
No, I hope not.
No, I think that's just an extensive investment they have to put forth to incorporate an S into the CFO logo.
They will have to do something about the title situation, though, because between now and Bobby Fish getting back,
yeah,
they'll have to do something about that.
They'll freebird him.
Unless, yeah, they might just do that and be goofy about it, you know? They'll do like, you know, rock, paper, scissors to determine who's going to be the other guy going out there. That'd be cool.
Or they'll have a race across the playground apparatus they have.
The monkey bars.
The monkey bars. Bronze grappling hook. Go to the past and pick 3 WWE legends to wrestle on NXT today. Macho Man.
Yeah, man.
Macho Man versus Velveteen Dream.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That'd be great. Ooh, yeah. Three legends. Oh, yeah.
Who else? Oh, Shawn Michaels.
Yeah. I'd take Ric Flair in his prime.
Mm.
That'd be good.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Good storytelling.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All good answers.
Oh, RVD.
RVD's oh, that's a great answer, too.
Yeah. Because somebody mentioned Jerry Lynn. That's a good one, too. That's great. Mr. Husband. I like that his name is Mr. Husband. Speaking of which, Mr. Husband has a question. Who do you think has the highest ceiling on the main roster of any of the current NXT folk? I think it's Aleister Black. I think he's got the highest. I think he's got Universal Champion right now.
I want to go with Lars Sullivan.
Really?
Because they love their monsters.
Yeah, they do, but even Braun hasn't gotten the Universal Championship
Well, it's
yet.
Because there's someone named Roman Reigns in the way.
Yeah, I know, man.
You send Lars to SmackDown? You tell me within a year he's not going to have the WWE title?
Maybe. Maybe. I still think it's Aleister Black, Universal Champion.
Marvelous Marcus Tyler, which segment would you rather see brought to WWE TV, Storytime with Adam Cole, or Your Husband Isn't a Real Man with Tommaso Ciampa?
Wait, what's the question?
Do you want to see Storytime with Adam Cole?
Oh, and a segment?
Yeah, a weekly or a regular segment. Storytime with Adam Cole or Your Husband Isn't a Real Man with Tommaso Ciampa.
Well, that's the one. I want that one. I've been advocating this whole time.
Put cameras in your bathroom by Tommaso Ciampa. Got a toilet cam.
Never understood the appeal of that. Yeah, because you hear about that stuff in the news, like creeps doing that.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Like, why would anybody want to see the poo-poo happen? Or the pee-pee?
I don't get it. It's gross.
People are weird, man.
Yeah, they are. Just be cool.
It's not even a matter. It's like, that's just weird. But yeah, just be cool.
Just be cool. Well, this could be interesting, I think. Eric, the base hit King Blaha. Hey, friend, those cast the crew from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia using wrestlers from 205 Live and NXT. Don't forget to include Frank Reynolds.
Yeah, so who's Danny DeVito?
Raw Man.
Hmm.
God, I don't know. I don't know. There's a Danny, like Lars Sullivan. I'd like to see him as Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
Because it'd be funny.
Who's Mac?
God, I don't know. I'm drawing a blank on all these right now, to be honest with you. I'm a fan. I like Always Sunny, but I'm not like such a fan.
Yeah, I know.
That like I know. I mean, I know their personalities, but I'm just trying to, I don't know.
What about Lacey Evans as D?
Yeah, there you go.
And then...
No, man, it's got to be like Billy Kay as D.
Well, she's not in NXT or 205 Live anymore.
Oh, yeah,
that was the premise of the question.
who's
Glenn Howerton?
I don't know. Velveteen Dream.
All right.
I don't know.
What about Charlie Day? Come on, let's get through it.
Okay, I don't know.
Noam Dar.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. Tommy Cat. How would you book EC3 from this point on?
Main roster.
He says he would bring him in as a surprise addition to the Money in the Bank. And then build the Cena EC3 at WrestleMania.
Wow.
That'd be great. No, how about this? He comes in Money in the Bank and then build to EC3 Undertaker at WrestleMania. EC3 retires Undertaker.
There you go. CM Punk finds it insulting. Is Candice LeRae's stock suffering from this Ciampa Gargano feud?
It's not helping her stock.
I know. I think the largest issue is that they're trying to expect us, the people who watch NXT, I feel like for the most part, probably know at least a little bit of something about what Candice LeRae has done in the wrestling industry.
Mm-hmm.
And to expect us to just forget all that, put it to the side,
yeah,
to accept what we're being shown. No.
I
think that's the larger issue for me. Is like she's been in matches with dudes and beat them.
Yeah.
You know, she's wrestled in tag team matches. She's gotten busted open.
Yeah.
She is tough.
Yeah.
She has shirts to say that. She
Cody
is tougher
Rhodes
than
says
you.
She's one of the strongest people he's ever wrestled before.
Exactly.
Yeah. Where's my title? Says.
Oh, I thought that was a question.
Did you hear this rumor?
What?
And I have no idea the legitimacy of it or not. But he said, now that SmackDown Live will officially split off from Raw, and go to Fox, are we entering into an era where we might see the Big Five being showed on network TV.
Oh no!
Between NBC, Fox, WrestleMania. Well, that's I read some rumor that WWE was shopping around their big four.
Oh, to network television?
To anybody who wants it.
Well, that's interesting.
But I don't. I have no. That might have been some crap on Facebook that has zero legitimacy. We'll have to look into it later on today. I have no idea. Given how much money they get, or they've
gotten. Yeah, I mean, I guess if NBC's going to give them $30 million to air WrestleMania.
I mean, they're, you know,
that's more than they're going to make on the network.
They've got their price tag.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure they would lose that many network subscriptions if the big four left. I would keep it just for the fact that last night, after I got done watching 205 Live at midnight, I decided to watch some WCW Saturday Night.
Well, here's the thing, too. If they're going to have WrestleMania on NBC, they're not going to have the pre-show. That's going to be right. The network.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so I could see that happening.
If the price tag is right.
The price tag is
right. Yeah,
exactly. That was kind of one of the interesting things about that podcast, too, is listening to the Saudi Arabia stuff. Because, you know, as it pertains to the WWE's deal, you know,
The
wheels started spinning there. I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah. The appropriately named Mark, Jonathan Coachman, gave his NXT endorsement to Heavy Machinery, power ranked the rest of the underwhelming acts that would round out his top five.
Yeah, freaking Coach. He said, those are my guys. Of course they would be. I don't know. Who else do I think sucks? I'm pretty high on a lot of people.
Yeah, I think Heavy Machinery is the only...
He would have been like, who's that guy that TJP fought? Christopher Guy? That's my guy. Right there. That's who you'd like.
Don't call me Lawler. First time question asker, long time listener. This question is for Steve. You come into work and hear a loud sound coming from the office. The closer you walk, you realize it's Lex Luger and he's screaming and yelling.
Oh, God.
Once you get into the office, you are shocked to see Lex coaching up an oiled up Ryback while he poses in front of a tied up Larson who is forced to watch. What do you do?
What?
That's a weird question.
I'd freaking call the cops, man. Both those guys are banned from this office.
All right.
It's Luger, Ryback, and Adam Mayhem, all banned from the office.
Adam Mayhem's not banned from the office.
None of them are allowed to be here.
Adam Mayhem's not banned.
And they have you tied up?
Yeah.
Dude, it'd be...
And forced to watch.
It'd be Spanish Fly followed by Starship Pain to both of them.
Before or after you untie me?
Well, I need to get past them to untie you. So I feel like those... Or just super...
Well, I feel like a double Spanish Fly would achieve that. Then we could do double Starship Pain on the both of them.
There you go. Perfect.
The legendary Jason the Cabbie. If you could have one legendary sports announcer call a match, why would you choose Harry Carey calling a Stone Cold match?
Oh, man. That'd be something else. It would be the other guy. It'd be...
John Madden?
No. The guy. Oh, that'd be great. No, the guy used to call Howard Cosell.
Oh, yeah.
Howard Cosell. Wow, look at that stunner. What a great job. Or I just get one of them like old-timey guys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know their names. Oh, my, look at that. I'd get the guy who called the freaking Hindenburg going down.
Oh, the humanity. What about Orson Welles circa War of the Worlds radio broadcast?
Wow, look at that stunner we see right there. That's a beautiful stunner. He goes for the pin. One, two, kick out.
Yeah.
Super kick.
Captivating.
Spanish Fly. Oh, followed by Starship Pain. Captivating. Anyways, that's it for show.
Yes.
We're good to go. That's it for show. Thanks for watching. Hilton, wake up.
Hit our music.
He didn't get any Splenda in his coffee today either.
Well, we can go get some coffee after lunch because I'm going to need some too.
Cool. Anyways, that's it for show. Thanks so much for tuning in. We appreciate it. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye.